Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to Jesus believers all over the world. Father God, we set our faith in agreement with all of your Jesus believers this morning. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful mercy. And you know what, God? I want to say this to you this morning. This is for you, God, this morning. From at least three or four different directions, but they all tie in and make one message. I feel so good in Christ this morning. You see, I've been trying to convey with you all where I was at in this experience with God that I've been going through. Well, I didn't exactly know what it meant, but I asked Brother Joe and Jose, and we kind of looked it up. Because God said to me, he said, Erica, you got the X factor. I said, X. X, you know, I'm thinking X something out of whatever. So you got the X factor. I said, okay, thank you, God, because when I figure it out, I know it's going to be good. So you got the X factor. And then he took me and showed me Paul, where Paul taught for 2 years at the school of Tyrannus. And he showed me where Paul taught morning and evening or afternoon or something like that. But anyway, he did it for 2 years and he taught twice a day. And he wants me to teach, which I've been saying it, but I was waiting on God to teach twice a day. And then there's another project that I've got to really get on. But he said, don't worry about it. You got the X factor. So when we were talking about it, I said, okay, God said, I got the X factor. What is that? And that just means you can look it up yourself. You can look it up, and he'll show you what it means to you. He showed me what it meant with regard to me. Because, see, nobody is exempt from being ministered to by God if you say you work for him. We all have to go back to school. You know, teachers can't even teach without being certified now and being recertified and updated. And that's what God did with me. That's what God did with me. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Do you know what I'm thankful? I'm thankful because he loved me. He wouldn't do that and help me like that if he didn't love me. And I'm trying to convey that same thing to you. God can let you be stuck on stupid. I just refuse that. No, that's not for me. But you know what? He meets us all just where we are. Even if you're stuck on stupid, he'll bring somebody to unstick you if you let him. It's all up to you. It's all up to you as to how far or how much, if any or at all, you're going to let God make you into what he needs you to be. Or you could stay stuck on stupid, thinking you got it. You got the answer. You know what you need to do. Mm-mm. Nope. If you would have told the military, they would have had a, even although the Pentagon say they're supposed to be a joint force, but now they're a joint, working, active organism. I wouldn't have believed that, but that's how it is today. So if you choose to remain where you are, then be happy where you are. Don't get upset with those that understand the sky is not the limit. So with us, you know what? Either grace has you or it doesn't. Either grace is operating because you choose to allow it to operate, or you don't. That's pretty much how it works.
Have you us on through with life. Been living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met?
Monumental like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha. Giddy over pity, pretty please. Let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize when you have inside, it's only just a matter of.
Into this, like I said, I'm coming from two different fronts this morning. So why don't you ask the Lord this one, Holy Spirit, let me get this, whichever one I'm supposed to get, let me get it this morning. Praise God. So I'm starting off like this. You don't have to be a prophet to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual gifts are available through God's own Holy Spirit that indwells you. Just as Jesus and the disciples operated in all the gifts, you can as well. But that doesn't mean you'll have a special anointing working with all the gifts. You understand me? Because God has special anointings that he anoints people for specific works or a specific work or a specific mission. So, just like the disciples operated in all the gifts, so can you. God's ways no longer have to be a mystery to us, because God has revealed to us and given us the keys to unlock the messages that he is speaking to each and every one of us. Already have the ability to hear God speak or hear God prophesy, which means speak out, and receive understanding from God with regards to what he's trying to show you and me. The Bible says the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Now that came from Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. In Christ Jesus, you are more than a conqueror and well able to face and destroy and overcome all, and I mean all, spiritual opposition that the enemy sends against your life. Put this in the chat room. All spirit dash spiritual warfare is part of the victorious Christian lifestyle. You got that? You see, after the anointing of the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, Jesus rebuked evil demons. Jesus faced Satan. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus rebuked storms. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. Spirit dash spiritual warfare is a part of Christianity, and it is a part that is not over. Now, based on history or historically, the rise and the fall of spiritual power, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's part of what I'm talking about. The rise and fall of spiritual power within the church has been related to the acknowledgement and opposition towards demonic principalities and powers. As the leaders of the church recognize the spiritual warfare that was being caused by demon powers, they began to equip believers to use their delegated spiritual authority to fight back. When the church leaders ignored the dark rulers of this world, all believers and the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered. You are, and you have been, placed in the middle of a spiritual war. Whether you want to be or not, it doesn't matter. It's where you are. You see, Jesus did not ignore demon powers, and Jesus didn't teach his apostles to ignore them either. Somebody post Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. The Apostle Paul taught the church in Ephesus how to battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We talked about it yesterday. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the cunning, deceptive tricks of the devil. For we're wrestling, we're fighting up close and personal. But it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, against, look at this, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, fight back. Put on there, fight back. Today, fight back. Yesterday, push back. Today, put on that armor so that you may be able to withstand, fight back in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Warriors, wear armor. Armor is for fighting. The Apostle Paul likens spiritual opposition to warfare. The Apostle Paul teaches us many, many spiritual truths. He says that as a Christ follower, that you should be strong in the Lord. He says that as a Christian, be full of spiritual power. Can you write that? Be full of spiritual power. You're not fighting flesh and blood. Your natural powers and abilities will not cause you to win. They may cause you to stand wavering back and forth and up and down. But you see, what God requires you to understand is that evil spirits, demons, have methods and strategies. Put that in the chat room. They have methods and strategies. They have methods and strategies because the battle is spiritual and not natural. So you're not going to win with your natural abilities against spiritual methods and strategies, because the battle is spiritual. You have to understand this battle. You're going to have to utilize the weapons of God, and you're going to have to wear that armor. You see, you equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit, fight back and are actually able to push the enemy back. The Apostle Paul, he knew a lot about this spiritual opposition that was against him. Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. The Apostle Paul continually uses warfare terms, teaching and training. Put this word in there, at least 8 people. Put this word in the chat room. Spiritual maturity. Write that in there. Spiritual maturity. 8 people, please. Spiritual maturity. You see, it takes spiritual maturity to see things as they really are, according to the eyes of Christ. According to your eyesight that has been sanctified and changed. Demons and demonic power know how to stop most Christians. They know how to stop you. And they had stopped many of you in the past. But it's time right now for you to stop being like all the other immature, unskilled Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. What is this hidden wisdom of God, this mystery of God? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, but to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, look at this, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Get this morning. Open up your own soul and receive this. God allows no power or wisdom outside of his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you don't know Christ, then you don't know the power or the wisdom of God. Because all of God's power and wisdom is bound up in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! His only begotten son. Did you hear me this morning? I said, God allows no power or wisdom outside of his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then you don't know the power or the wisdom of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you have no power or wisdom, because all of God's power and God's wisdom is bound up in Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Apostle Paul is referring to believers here. He was reading his letters to the churches, which are part of the scriptures. When the Apostle Paul speaks of his knowledge in the mystery of Christ, he is speaking of his knowing Christ. His knowing Christ. His knowing Christ. His knowing Christ. Christ, his knowing Christ, which knowledge cost him everything. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, the revelation of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? It is this. Please write this. Christ in you. That's what it is. Christ in you. Lay your hand over your heart. Say, Christ in me. That's the mystery. Christ in me. No, Christ in me. Christ in me. How you gonna tell somebody else Christ in you and you can't lay your hand over your own heart and say Christ in me? That's the mystery. Christ in me. I can prove it. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of God, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom is Christ, the wisdom of God in God's people. Your and my only hope of glory, and put this in parentheses, acceptance with God. Our only hope of acceptance with God is that Christ is living in us, so that we can behold him and be changed into his same image. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise or something? Hallelujah! Christ in me. Lay your hand, stretch your hand out wide, all five fingers and your thumb, all four fingers and your thumb, with your little fingers down over your navel. Hold your hand right there. Now say that. Christ is alive and living in me, so that I can be changed into his same image. Say that. Christ is living in me, so that I can behold him and be changed into his same image. Do you feel that thing? Do you feel that thing in the pit of your bowels right there? Christ is living in me, so that I can behold him and be changed into his same image. Look. The only one that God ever said, in him whom I am well pleased, is his son. Therefore, your only hope of glory, your only acceptance with God, is to be changed or transformed into the same image of his son. Jesus said in John 17:1, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify, reveal your son, that your son also may glorify or reveal you. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Remember this. I need at least 12 people, the same number of the disciples, to post in this chat room this morning, Christ is the power of God. Post that. Christ is the power of God. Now, the same 12 of you post this. Therefore, Christ has power over all men. Christ is the power of God. Therefore, Christ has power over all men. Christ is the power of God. Therefore, Christ has power over all men. Come on, 12. Therefore, Christ has power over all men. Now put this. Christ, the power of God, has power over all men, and he's living in me. Yay! And he's living in me. Christ, the power of God, has power over all men, and he's living in me. And he's living in me. Christ, who has power over all men, is living in you. Yes! Can I get a yes? Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Christ, who the power of God is Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ, and he's living in you. And he said, look at here. My father loved you so much, he sent me to transfer what he has in me and give it to you because you are his ambassador on earth, so that earth could be like heaven. Hallelujah! Through you, Christ, in you, the redeeming of God, Christ, in you, the manifestation of God on earth. So that earth will become as it is in heaven. Do you. Every promise of God has to come through the power of God in you. And guess what? Included in that transference, is eternal life. But it's only eternal life to those God the Father has given to Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So you might be thinking, what does it mean for the Father to give a person to Christ? It means God the Father has called that person out of darkness into his marvelous light. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ alone is that light. But you know, there's a little bit of a hiccup here. God has not given everyone to his son. But the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he or she that comes to me, I will in no way cast out." It does not say, brothers and sisters, has given. But it says, is giving, or will give to Christ. And that has already included you and I. Why does God the Father give someone to his son? Is it only for salvation from sin and death? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever what believes in him." So that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us his son, not only as a sacrifice for our sin, but God gave us his son to live within us, to live in our place on this earth. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You see, brothers and sisters, that's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Unless we have Christ living in us, we do not have eternal life. Unless we have Christ living and alive in us, we do not have the wisdom of God. Except we have Christ living and alive in us, we do not have the power of God flowing through us, brothers and sisters. The Father gave us his son to live in us. 1 John 5 and 12. Again, I say to you this morning, he that has the son has life, and he that has not the son of God has not life. God gave us his son to live within us. Why? Post this in the chat room so that we might know him. Because to know him is life. Is life. You see, he's life. He's life. The Bible tells us in John 14, 26, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." You see, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is to remind you of everything that God has said to you. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything Jesus has said to us in his word. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 disciples together, he gave them what? He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. He sent them out to proclaim that the kingdom of God was here and available to heal the sin-sick soul, to heal the beaten and broken down body, to restore, to strengthen. He said, go out from here. Proclaim this kingdom. Demonstrate this kingdom. Live this kingdom. And you can do it. You can heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. You see, brothers and sisters, Christ in you, the power of God, the wisdom of God, God himself in you. Wake up. Wake up, oh sleeper. Wake up. Wake up. The mystery from eternity past to eternity future. The power of God is Christ, and Christ is in you, alive and living in you. The Bible says every disciple of Christ can be trained to fulfill the solemn promise that Jesus gave us. That promise is in John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whosoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. You are not operating in the power. Maybe because you haven't been told. But you no longer have that excuse. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us with the truth of God already presented in the Bible. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, God's own spirit, will tell you what is yet to come and show you things that have not been seen before. But you can't see it. You can't believe it. Running around here talking about what you feel or what you don't feel. It is all based on the word of God, which was and is to come. The word of God, which became flesh and dwelt among us. and we witness, and our witnesses on earth to his revealing and revealing and revealing and revealing. What, Erica, is he revealing? Why you keep saying this? He is revealing himself. Himself. He's revealing himself. Because he's alive. He's alive. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. He's alive in the believers. He's alive. And he wants to demonstrate that life to the world through you, his believers.
How majestic is your name. Your words are true. Your mercy does not change. All your promises are precious. Reviving our faith. Every one of them will be fulfilled one day.
Ooh, all your promises are yes and amen, Jesus. Your promises are true.
Yes, they are.
All your promises are yes and amen, Lord Jesus. We'll keep running after you.
Gonna run after you, Lord. We will run. We will run and not grow weary. We will rise upon the eagle's wing. In the presence of the Lord, our spirit will soar. Till we one day gaze upon our King.
Oh, all your promises are yes and amen, Jesus. Your promises are true.
So true.
All your promises are yes and amen.
Come on now,
Jesus.
We'll keep running, everybody. We'll keep running after you. My foot had almost slipped, oh Lord. You know I almost lost my way. Until I entered the house of the Lord, and I heard your sweet spirit. I heard you say,
all your promises are yes and amen, Jesus. Your promises are true.
Yes, they are all.
Promises are yes and amen, Jesus.
Can I do the bridge one more time?
Jesus.
But